Association parade canceled.
You don't get to be a jellyfish?
Are they going to...
And I have the perfect...
Are they going to do it tomorrow, or are they just canceled it?
I don't know. No, they haven't canceled it yet.
Oh, they haven't.
But I'm wondering, because it seems very...
Yeah, it's looking a little iffy out there.
Bad storms until 8 o'clock.
Fireman's Parade.
Yeah. No, I'm going as a jellyfish. It's under the sea, is the...
But I mean, like, you know...
It's only good if it rains on at once.
They
it
don't understand.
That, it gets like waves and everything.
The level of 2 hours ago seriousness on Facebook, for costumes. They were still promoting
I know. It's a big deal, let me just tell you. My husband's like, what are you doing?
Are you like Squidward or...
You guys can see it on Facebook tomorrow.
There we go.
That's all I'm going to say.
We'll see the pictures tomorrow. Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. I'd ask for a motion to approve the minutes of June 13th.
I'll make a motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay.
Can I say something?
Sure.
So I have a bunch of small comments on this one, but I don't have them written out. So we could do it one of two ways. We could move it and then amend, or hold it a week. There's just a bunch of things attributed to me that and others that I just feel like need some like minor changes.
We can hold it because we're meeting Wednesday, so it's only 5 days away, and I'm sure Liz isn't going to work on it today anyway. So I'm going to leave.
Then I can send Liz, I'll put it in, I need to get word on this computer, but in the meantime, I'll just put it in writing to Liz in email.
Okay, so we'll hold those until Wednesday. No problem. March made some changes to the timeline. I just wanted to give you the opportunity to go over that.
Yep, hold on, let me pull up what I did. I tried to address the things that we had talked about in the meeting. One of the issues was pulling off the last two things that were on the timeline. And you can see them. Hold on, I just have to open it. So I included the current timeline and the new proposed timeline, but the last two items were pulled off the new timeline because they really don't need to be there, which is the date of the county's public hearings and the legislature's adoption of the new budget. That happens anyway. You know, I think this is in comporting with what we discussed in our last meeting, which is that, you know, there would be a presentation of an estimated net service fee on August 1st, that the upper board would present a draft, you know, an adopted draft budget to the legislature in the middle of August. The legislature would have 2 weeks to review that and make comments back. And then it is really in the court of UCRA to do what they do. They don't adopt their budget until they have to, which is to meet an 11-1 deadline. So that's what this is taking into account. So, you know, I think people have seen it. Have you seen it? The new? I didn't bring copies. I'm sorry. More on my email.
Oh, did you send it to Ken? Actually, or is that the one you're talking about? Was it the one
Ken?
That... Did
sure.
it go to Ken Juris and Amanda?
Yes. And I'll send it to you again right now. So I sent it to Ken Juris. I think we're putting him in an uncomfortable position. He's always, as the budget director, going to want as much time and information as possible in preparing the budget. This gives it to him several weeks. You know, it gives him an idea of what's happening several weeks earlier than he would have had otherwise. But I think asking him to say, hey, is this okay, when no, it's never going to be early enough or enough information. I just wanted to make sure that he had it, so I did send it to the budget director, just as an FYI. Yeah.
Did he answer?
I don't think he did. Yeah. I think he said thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Anna. Sorry.
And also Amanda has
okay.
I just wonder if the two things you said happen automatically just would be good to keep in, just so that people can get understand the timeline.
Right, okay. I think the part that was, I think now that I'm looking at it again, I think you're right, just having those dates in there, that the county holds its own hearings and adopts the budget is fine. The part that is really, I think, in the original first draft of this, we're thinking that UCRA would adopt or reject the changes, and then it would come back to the legislature. It doesn't come back to the legislature. That's the part that needed to go away. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just the legislature will adopt its own budget. Mm-hmm. UCRA will adopt its own budget, and we will live with the consequences. Mm-hmm. Right. But I'm happy to add those. I think that's a great suggestion Mana has. Just having the when the county budget is finally mm-hmm. adopted back in the timeline would be helpful.
Is that was just the original last 2 points?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you want to put it in and re-email, if not, I copied what you presented into the draft. And I had emailed that out last night, but I'm looking at my email, and apparently it got stuck in my outbox, so I will re-email it.
Oh,
that
doesn't sound. I love it when that happens.
I can send it right now if people. The draft is where it is, but
I wanted
to get it to you before this morning. So, Mandy, you had a question or
yes.
comment?
So I did have at least an initial discussions with Ken Juris. You know, I think it's right to characterize that he's always going to look for the most time, you know, possible in order to compile the most complete budget for the executive and also then for the ledge. I think, again, you know, he will write something up, you know, in response but I think high level, again, the timeline is kind of separate from any discussion of, you know, the timeline is the when. I think really the bigger issue will be the what, where, and why of any type of net service fee in particular. So I think, you know, as far as the timeline goes, it's really driven by things that are in some ways
statutory,
beyond the control.
But the contract has some places where
yeah.
we can say, like, this is going to happen
right.
in addition.
But again, it's really, you know, is there a multi-year outlook to the why or kind of the orders of magnitude? I think that's more important than really, like, parsing weeks on the timeline.
I would agree with that. I'm realizing I was misspeaking when I said those last 2 points weren't on here. They are. They're just on page 2, and I
yeah.
couldn't find them.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? And then, March, was there any other sort of wrap-up on the contract other than what you've already mentioned, or has anybody else have any thoughts on the contract?
I mean, I've created a draft. Nobody on the contract section, and I welcome feedback and comments on that, and I urge people to review that because I do think that needs to have the right tone and language.
When did you send that out? I don't remember seeing that.
Did you send it, or is it just in the Google Drive?
That's the thing that you were having a hard time getting from me.
Yeah.
Is that in the Google Drive?
I realized why I was having a hard time.
Because I had the wrong
you
email.
You had the wrong email address.
I was leaving that part out.
Sorry.
You want
to okay.
focus on that?
I apologize.
Can I ask that, March, just because I'm away, can you also send it to me in an email?
Yes.
I was able to get into the OneDrive temporarily, but I'm going to have to reach out to Tyron again because now I can't get in again. So I don't know if it's just
yeah,
like
I can't either.
Going through that repeated access.
I had the same problem, and I had to go back to the original
yes.
invite
yeah, please do.
And start from there to get back in again
okay.
and
okay.
go through the whole authentication process.
It did go to everybody.
But you yeah. are able to get back in if you go back to the invite. It's frustrating, and you have to go through the whole process, but it will
right.
eventually
so
get you back to the same
it.
Place.
And you haven't done anything with it since.
Yeah, he told me to bookmark, but when I go on the bookmark,
why
it doesn't get me.
Yeah.
He locks me out and asks for me.
Yeah,
I had the same issue.
He's not left out.
Okay.
So So, but just in the meantime, if I could get it in hard copy, not in hard
I'm
copy,
gonna
but
resend
in direct
it to everybody
email, that
right
would be
now.
Great.
Yeah, March is going to email it right now to everybody's email.
And I'm
right.
going to include the correct Mike Baden, because M. Baden 62 is like,
yes.
Why is this woman harassing
Mark,
me?
Before you send it out, I just want to make one quick comment, just
yeah.
in case you want to include it. We are not recommending anything at this point that's changing where we have to go to the state. So far, we have not, unless I'm missing something.
The
so,
board membership.
Pardon?
Changing the number of board members has to go to the state.
Okay. Well, my point is...
But that doesn't preclude everything else from moving forward. It's a separate action. So, anyway, go ahead.
My point is that I feel like at this time, things are going to be changing at the agency, both internally and in terms of the Reuse Innovation Center and hopefully finishing the Zero Waste Implementation Plan and going through that process. I would like to ensure, and I think the contract is the place to do this, that it does get revisited in 5 years. We had talked about it. It was just kind of floated. But I do think that that...
Sort of like a five-year term with five-year renewals or something like that.
Yes. Or, I, you know, it could be after 5 years, even go for 20 years. But I do think we're in at a point where, and we've all put a lot of time and energy into this, but I don't want to have us send it, for example, to the legislature as if this is it forever. I do think it needs to be revisited.
So you think we should... So the recommendation would be for a five-year contract with a renewal period to be determined at that time. So, you know, in 5 years, it gets looked at, and they decide, okay, we're going to renew for 5, or we're going to renew for 10, or for 20, or whatever. I think that's a smart move.
Tracy has her hand up, Mr. Chairman.
Yep, thank you. I appreciate that.
After Tracy.
Okay, go ahead, Tracy.
Thank you. A five-year term is very concerning to me. I feel like in the, and I don't feel comfortable with recommending a five-year term to the legislature. I think that it's too short. I think it forestalls any action. I think it gives a five-year pass for anything to be done. And then 5 years from now, they'll start thinking about this and they'll get a new committee to discuss it. You know, I really feel strongly that the relationship with the agency, which is what we've been tasked really to make recommendations on, if we're recommending that you just enter a five-year term and then revisit it in 5 years, it's almost like it's almost like the absence of a recommendation. It's like saying you have 5 more years to think about this, and I don't think we do.
I see it a little differently than Tracy. I mean, I actually think 5 years in many ways makes sense, and it's what I would have sort of as a first proposal sent to the county attorney absent a recommendation, and not because I think we're going to wait for 5 years to get anything done, but in 5 years from when this contract ends, that will be when the county executive's executive order to divert 100% organics should come to fruition. It's there's a lot of things in, I believe, even the CLCPA that are in 2030. So I think 5 years makes sense. I don't think having an undefined term after that makes sense. I think like 5 year term with, you know, however many 5 year renewals and a 5 year kind of a midway look back. In 5 years, we're going to be doing a new 10-year local solid waste management plan. Having a mid-plan review, I don't think, is a bad thing. The only thing I'll bring up is, with a shorter term, I think there has to be something in the contract that says if the county terminates the contract or if it's not renewed, that any bonding debt, etc., will be assumed by the county. Especially if there's going to be a cap lifted, and if we're doing capital projects that especially like the Reuse Innovation Center, and I don't know that we will, but if we are taking on some debt, well, it would be almost impossible to get that debt to be taken on if there's no authority beyond 5 years. So
what about this thought that in the contract was that at the end of 5 years there would be a review between the agency and the legislature for any amendments, you know, a mandated review, not just we're going to just meet together, but they do a real earnest review of any amendments that should be made to the contract. I mean, I know you can make amendments at any time, but
right.
I think your point makes a lot of sense that in 5 years is when you're going to be doing your next solid waste plan. There's a lot of benchmarks that are going to come up in 5 years. And I agree with Manna that it's going to be, there could be a lot of change in 5 years. I mean, the state just said they're going to go to 85% diversion by 2050. So in 5 years, we're at 2030, we need to be heading that direction. And if it's a 10-year contract, that could be But maybe the impetus isn't there that the contract can be ended in 5 years and walked away from, but that there be we're going to take a real hard look at it in 5 years and see what needs to change. Because I hear Tracy's point as well, too, that 5 years, everybody could sort of sit back and say, oh, we're not going to do anything because we don't know if we're going to be expanded beyond 5 years. Would that maybe work? Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Thanks. I mean, I hear Mark's point. I think, and I also, again, because we're nearing the end, I'm going to keep reiterating how important I think consensus is in terms of this body. Like, so myself, I'm also going to be working to find consensus. And while I've already stated that I feel very strongly that 5 years is too short, maybe for me, one of the ways that I could feel comfortable with making that recommendation would be in relation to firm recommendations for that 5-year contract in relation to the other things that we're talking about. Because I would need to know that that 5-year contract was also addressing so much of what we're talking about, which is, that's the part, and that's kind of where it dovetails into Mark's call about bonding, which I wholeheartedly agree with. There's no way that you can have a 5-year contract, ask an organization to take on potential considerable debt, and then leave them in the lurch. Like, that would have to be contemplated in the contract as well. But I would also want to see in a 5-year contract really firm recommendations related to the rest of what we're talking about. I just want to say to what Mike just said, the idea, you know, I really embrace the idea of 85% by 2050, but I think, again, I'm so disappointed in the state, given the, you know, it's almost is that this report that they've just written, not acknowledging current state of affairs in any real way. I mean, I don't know what the current state of diversion is, but the way that we all live is only increasing the amount of waste that we create, not decreasing the amount of waste. And all I could quickly find is New York City's diversion rate is hovering somewhere around 15%. Like, we got to deal in the here and now on some level. So I don't want to be holding out for what, you know, the state is suggesting. Although I hold what the executive has asked for to be very serious. So in terms of Ulster County being in control of its own destiny, and as Manna has repeatedly stated, being able to set a really pretty amazing model if we put our minds to it that others can follow.
March.
I'd like to tie it back also to the converse, to the comment that Amanda made a few minutes ago about multi-year budgeting. I actually, to me, the achieving the goals that we're talking about, the term of the contract, needing to take on, you know, a lot of additional things in, you know, that are our own goals, whether or not New York State has them, makes me think that maybe we should, and this is really a question for the group, should we be asking for multi-year budgeting out of this agency when we're getting a budget? Like, I just want to go back to that, what you were saying, Amanda, about what's going to really matter to county budgeting is going to be not what the agency is thinking is happening right now. It's what is the agency thinking is happening in the next few years. So I agree with what everybody said about, you know, I agree with what you're saying about the bonding cap. I think the county would have to be the responsible party should, you know, the contract terminate, because otherwise what happens then? That's insane. We won't be able to actually raise the capital we need. I hear what Mann is saying about concern about if this isn't working, she wants to get out so we can actually get something that does work, right? That's really what you're saying. And so I think multi-year budgeting as a requirement could be helpful. I'm done.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm trying to resend the email with the report, but.
It's required in the what?
The Paris report.
What is the Paris report?
Right, multi-year outlook. You have to do through 3 years.
3 year budget?
I don't think so. And again, remember, we're doing widgets in many ways.
Right. So bonding, I think for us to have any realistic chance of getting any bonding with everything changing so quickly, the county is going to be our backstop anyway. I'm not sure we'll be able to raise any money as UCRA without the county signing off. I think that's just the reality, because we're moving into a whole new way of doing business, and we're not going to have a guaranteed revenue stream that we can point at and say, this is what we're going to get every year because we're getting this tipping fee. It may not happen right away, but over the course of the next couple of years, you know, we could lose Seneca Meadows. So there's really, I don't see any company that will bond UCRA if we don't have a revenue stream we can count on. And right now, looking at things, I see that that's going to be quite problematic in coming years. I don't know if Mark agrees with me, but if we're going to switch over to a new system where we're doing helping finance waste diversion, I don't see how that's going to pay for itself right away. At some point, it might. And on the contract, I'm thinking maybe we can put in benchmarks to help Tracy feel a little better. We're not going to just sit on our hands for 5 years. We can't do that. But maybe benchmarks can help steer and give people a sense of, you know, well, this is what we have to do. So those are my two thoughts. Thanks.
Yeah, the benchmarks idea popped into my head as well. The only concern with that is I think they've got to be flexible enough that allows the agency to be able to be working within, because if they're too rigid and they're not met to the letter, then that could lead to inefficiency, I guess. If the whole goal becomes to meet certain benchmarks, they're important benchmarks, but there still has to be some flexibility for the agency to react to what's happening in the situation. So,
I think,
and Tracy also, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I think the way to address that, and I'm not sure if it got included or not, is that that the tipping fee be based on the operating budget, and that capital projects, which have to go to get approved if they're over $500,000 anyway, by the legislature, and the legislature already is the backup. If it needs to be more explicit in the contract, it should be. But, you know, to give the agency as much autonomy as makes sense, but also know that the county, in terms of bonding, if it's a substantial bond and it's approved by the legislature, then I think that improves the ability to get bonded.
As long as, I mean, if the legislature approves it and says, but we're not on the hook for it, we just think this is a good idea.
No, we should prevent that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just want to make sure, without a county backup, as we head into this new world, I don't see how we'll pay.
Let me get Tracy next, and then... Go ahead, Tracy.
Thank you. So a couple of things. One, I strongly support removing the legislature's approval of bonding over $500,000, which I know we're going to talk about at this table, and I also remain skeptical that it's fully legal in terms of the tie to an autonomous agency, which I know we need to have legislative council look at. That said, I don't know if it sounds like we're talking sort of a circle around the idea of there no longer being a net service fee in the new, or the possibility of it in the new contract, because the net service fee is the backstop. And I know when we talked in the previous incarnation, the previous two incarnations, but certainly the one under Carl Belfilio that I sat on of this group, when we dug way into the numbers about disbanding the relationship with the agency and creating a county department, it's not even that it was a possibility. It wasn't assumed because of the net service fee that we would have to satisfy all the debt in order to close the agency, that we, the county, would have to satisfy all the outstanding debt, which at that time was significant, which was the barrier to even having the conversation, which is why the recommendation was made to keep the agency intact, because the county would have to take on, I don't have the number in front of me, but at the time I want to say it was somewhere, it was upwards of $25 million. So with the net service fee still in place, that is the backstop. Like the agency, that's sort of the beauty of the way that this is set up, that the agency has the autonomy to make the decisions the way it was set up before the $500,000 add-on later, but had the autonomy to make these difficult decisions, i.e. a landfill, without the political pressure, and that ultimately to balance, as Manna said, operations through the tipping fee, and anything that exceeded that came back to the county in the form of a net service fee. But we could talk to bonds counsel or legal at the county level. I think I know that in the current incarnation, the county would be on the hook to satisfy the debt, and if the contract stays substantially the same, that would remain the case. So your concerns would be alleviated, Jim. There's no agency on its own, and if it's shuttered in 5 years,
I wasn't really concerned about it so much, Tracy, as my conversation was that I just wanted to make sure everyone at this table, as we move forward, you know, has that same understanding, and I'm reassured to hear it seems that people do.
Yeah, and I think we really need to get some legal research done, both on that the bonding cap approval and the legality of it, given that it's an autonomous agency, and also our other legal questions as we're coming to the wire.
So I just want to clarify that what is happening is a fundamental change of the contract, because the prior, and I support that, but this is why I think it's important to spell out in the contract that the county would be the backstop or assume responsibility if they terminated the contract. The prior contract's term was tied with the last bond payment, right? Mm-hmm. Which is why it's up this year. So a 30-year bond or whatever it was becoming due, that's different than us going out now and getting a 30-year bond and then having a potential contract end in 5 years. So that's why I'm saying it has to be explicitly, you know, spelled out that if it's terminated or not renewed, that the county would take over, because I don't think Without language like that, I don't think we'd get bonding. I don't think on our own bonding authority that anybody would say, yeah, go do a 30-year bond if you have a 5-year contract and no revenue. So that's why I think that we have to clarify that. And again, it's something I support with not doing another 30-year contract, but the reality is I don't want a net service fee because I want to go out and be able to bond, put that in our operational costs, and set our tipping fees based on what our bond payments will be, and we will be able to then, you know, take care of our own budget and be sustainable, while also, by not having the bonding cap, by also not just kicking things down the road, but being proactive in upgrading our infrastructure, and we can tie that into the contract however, you know, it is. But those two things, the cap would need to go away, and then the authority to, not the authority to bond, but the back kind of stop of the bonding authority.
Can I just get clarification on cap? It's not, my understanding is, it's not a cap. It's the opposite. It's, you can bond on your own up to
$500,000.
But after that, it has to be approved by the legislature.
So let's say we want to go out and do a $100 million bond because we've identified a site for a landfill. And a bonding resolution requires 2/3 vote in the legislature. Maybe this would be different because you're not actually doing the bond. But even so, why would it require, if the purpose of the agency was to take the political decisions out and do things like the hard decisions on siting a landfill, which we are, you know, in the process of looking at right now. Why should we have to come to you to get that bond? Because then...
Because we're also the backup.
Yeah.
But, you know, if that happens, then there's a very good chance the legislature mm-hmm. would vote it down. They'd say, no, for you saw what happened with Plattekill. Mm-hmm. They're not going to... do not see a world where the legislature approves a landfill.
I live in this
majority.
Legislature, and I disagree with you. I think this legislature, if we go to them with a package that makes sense, I don't know how the minority leader will vote, but I would say it goes through energy and environment, and seems to me those folks are trying to make sense.
So those folks might
done.
Well be trying to make sense, but I didn't hear a lot of sense with the debate about Plattekill. That became a political football that was used to make political points, and it basically was non-factual
well,
for the most part.
Well, we're not going to cite a landfill in Plattekill. I can swear to that.
No, but
but the thing is, the principle will hold for all the towns. Mm-hmm. It'll become a political football wherever you try and put it. It will be a political football, and if you need 2/3 bonding clearance, you're not going to get it. Mm. You're just not going to get
it. Well, and we also don't...
Well, I may be outvoted, and then it'll go into the recommendations as a minority and majority vote. And this was an issue we were going to vote on.
Yep.
So let's know that we're going to vote on it. I don't know that we're going to vote on it now.
Well, actually, this...
I would vote on it if we remove flow control.
This is a really good segue. So the next thing I have on the agenda is to discuss identifying the items for vote. What I'd like us to do is identify the items specifically today. We didn't want to do it last week because Jim wasn't last meeting because Jim wasn't or someone
I'm not going to be here next week either.
Understood, but I'm trying to explain.
Tracy,
okay.
I know you just couldn't see.
Let me just finish. Thank you. I appreciate that. Sorry, it's behind me. So the next agenda item is for us to identify the items that at the next meeting we are going. We all agreed at the last meeting we needed to vote yes or no as individuals and determine the direction of a number of these items that we are not in full agreement on. And so what I wanted to do is create a list today of those things so everybody has between now and Wednesday to think about it.
I think we created the list. I didn't want to take action when Jim wasn't here.
Exactly.
Because he's
okay. Well,
on the board.
Let's let Tracy talk, and then we'll. I mean, we have to get the report done at some point.
It's not in minutes, but it should be.
Tracy, please.
I was just gonna say that I hear Mark's point about the distinction, the previous contract to the current, and tying and agree that there will have to be explicit, or I support the idea of there being explicit language tying the county to any bonding in a similar way, which effectively would create, even if it's a contract that's happening in 5 years terms, it creates a longer term relationship, since bonding is going to happen at longer rates, and would put us in a similar place where to get out of the contract, even a, you know, 5 year term contract would require satisfying the bonds. I'm okay voting now or later, although I'd like for us to think of voting, if we're doing it now, as a moment in time where we can continue to have further conversations about it, because again, I think our strongest the strength of the report is going to be in mostly in the places where we could have consensus. And while it may or may not find its way directly into the report, I just want to say to Mark, I think that there's value in tying the tipping fee to operations, as Manna has said and you just reiterated, but when operations is also tied to debt service, that can get questionable, and it also is sort of what got us to this point with an agency that's managed fairly well but has made zero major investments over the last 20 something years. And that's because there was concern about increasing debt service. And the reality is, you may reach a point if you're making significant investments in things like the RIC, a small local or regional landfill, upgrades to the MRF, all those investments in a short term might make it so that the tipping fee alone is unmanageable and you would have to resort to a net service fee. And I just say that as a sort of a cautionary tale, because I think we're at a point where all those investments need to be made by someone, by whoever continues in this role. And there's a breaking point with tipping fee, where once the tipping fee reaches a certain point, there will be garbage in the street. People will find alternative methods, and that point is a point that you're going to be closely watching, is the, and your board is, if the agency still remains in this role, but where at some point it has to be picked up. Otherwise, that's what happened in the beginning with all the closures of the landfills. So I just think that reluctance to spend money in fear of a net service fee is partially how we got to this place. So I think we just need to be mindful of that.
I hear you. Can I just respond to that on one thing? I mean, we have $11 million right now that if we tomorrow, next year, which I understand it's going to be 10 years down the road or maybe slightly less, but we have $11 million right now budgeted for, again, just transportation and our Seneca Meadows disposal fees. So that's a pretty good start to a debt service fee on a landfill, because if we do a 20 to 30 year bond and it's 100 to 200, you know what I mean? So like,
I
hear you, but like, I still think like that's how the county as well budgets its debt service, is through its operations. It's not through its, you know, the capital.
I hear you, and I appreciate you. I'm just asking you to just keep an open mind, because again, even at this table, we're asking a lot of the agency in turn. We're asking for enforcement that hasn't happened. We're asking for a resource recovery center. We're asking for increased MRF. We're asking for a landfill. These things all add, that's a lot. So, and I think that's what I hear in Jim's voice too, when Jim says, you know, I just want to be sure that that we're all clear on this relationship. And it's a lot that has to happen in a fairly quick turn. So that's all I'm saying. It's just, I hope it all can be covered under the transportation costs, and that would be great. But if it can't, I'm just simply saying, if it can't, and there needs to be a net service fee, and that's the arrangement that's met, I don't think there should be such reluctance to do it, because the tipping fee can only bear so much.
And if I can just add to you know, what Jim suggested about benchmarks, what Tracy just said is exactly my fear about benchmarks, because there's so many things that we've discussed, and if we make them all benchmarks, then you're almost setting the agency up for failure, because there's so many variables going into achieving each benchmark. If there was, and just this as an example, if there were 8 or 10 benchmarks and the goal was to meet a certain percentage of them, that may be a more realistic thing, because there's a lot of things being discussed, there's a lot of solutions. We all agree that all those, or many of us agree, that a lot of the solutions are need to happen at some point in the very near future. But the reality is, getting them all done at one time may not be feasible, both financially or just from, you know, if you're working on too many projects at one time, none of them get accomplished. So
some of it's out of our control with the DEP and permitting processes.
Agreed.
That take many years as well.
So. Amanda, did you have something you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think that there's, what I'm hearing is that there, you know, there's the contract, which is its own certain type of document, right? And then you have a budget. You know, what about a rolling 5-year capital plan that, you know, has some indicators in it? So, and I like the idea of having, like, key benchmarks or indicators, right? Tonnage landfilled and transported, you know, tonnage, the compost, the tonnage, you know, you could come up with a bunch that kind of drill down to it, and then having that rolling capital where you can kind of see, and it could be somewhat similar and have a lot of overlap with your other biennial reports that you're doing for DEC, so it's not like a, like another document that you have to do, but I think that would might bridge the gap, and it would also give some, you know, as you're looking at it, it's just this weird math, you know, that goes into looking at your tipping fee, because you're looking at things that are happening right now, right? And you're, unless you have, you know, once those bond payments stop, there's only so much money you can put into your operating reserve. Like, so you're either going to have other projects lined up, or, like, there's not a lot of leeway there.
Right.
So I'm just kind of thinking about that also. So it's almost like, you know, projects need to be lined up to start moving, too. So I think there's a couple of ways to bridge between the contract and then kind of the more rote operation. That's it.
Okay. So to sort of bring it back, we have one more meeting scheduled currently for next Wednesday. We had started last meeting with making a list of items that we wanted to vote individually as to direction. I freely admit it's been very difficult to try to put words to paper without knowing the direction of some of these things. So here's a thought. All 7 of us are here today. I've started jotting down some things that we identified as wanting to be voted on. After we do those, or as we do those, we have all 7 of us here today. Let's do that. I will then seriously sit down and get this. I apologize. I don't know why my computer will not send the email of the current draft report. I've incorporated in March's stuff. Amanda got me 3 really great charts. I incorporated them into the report. It's coming together, but there's holes where there's titles and no text because I don't know what the text needs to be yet. So if we do that, I will guarantee that Wednesday I will have, I think we should schedule one more meeting after that to sort of wrap everything up. Bearing in mind that the week after that is the 4th of July weekend, what I would suggest is we meet the week of the 9th, some point on that week, to wrap it all up and say, here's our finished report. So it gives us two more meetings, and today we'll at least make as good an attempt to vote today while we're all here.
And Mike, just to point out that Energy Environment meets, I believe, July 2nd.
Yeah, I know.
And
I realize.
So I'll just say we are very close, and you'll get it when it's ready, and we'll just and I'll let Chris cue it now.
I think it's more important that we do it well than that we do it in a real, you know, a week later or 2 weeks later. I think is going to make a world of difference for us. And not as much of a difference. March?
I like the idea of a rolling capital plan. I think that the agency probably has one in their mind or will, but it doesn't necessarily get shared. By the way, the Public Authorities Accountability Act and the ABO filing budgets do have a 3-year, but they're BS right now. They're really just using an inflation escalator to predict what's coming. It's not really anticipating significant projects. So I think even a 3-year rolling capital plan would be helpful. I have a list of items that I articulated specifically. I would like the minutes. Lizbeth, if you could take this list and change the last minutes to include the list specifically, because it doesn't have everything. It just has two of the items here. Bonding and agency versus department, but also board composition was on the list.
Yeah, I had board. I had flow control of
flow
regulated
control.
Recyclables, bonding, timeline, which I think we have already addressed. The board makeup. I had agency versus department.
Yes,
those were
the
lists that I had.
Yes.
I don't remember if there were others that were not.
I would
included.
Just like to. Maybe we can.
But I've started a list here on paper, and I think the first one is agency versus department, because that will hinge a lot of how the rest of the discussion goes.
Yeah.
So
I just want to make sure we update our last set of minutes so that as people are looking at the work we've done, they understand we did talk about all of those items last time and identify that
Got
we
it.
Want to have a vote on them this time or next time.
So with that, is everybody comfortable with doing that? And we can do it either just by a show of hands. We can go around the room and say, you know, one or the other. If it's a choice of A or B, if it's a multiple choice, then however we want to do it. But I think
I think that we should list as majority, minority, or list the vote.
Yeah.
So that if there's not consensus, people know that.
Right.
I'm
going to take a vote of
each
of these.
As much as possible, we can get to consensus, and the ones where we're not, maybe we can revisit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to suggest a compromise, because that sounds like it's weakening it. But, you know, to try to get to consensus.
I also would add that, you know, if it's a... Obviously, if it's a 4-3 vote, it's very different than if it's a 6-1 vote. If we list, though, that it was not a unanimous decision in the report, we can try to find the compromise, or we can just make the legislature aware that of the 7-member committee, this was the body's vote, and so they're aware that it was not a unanimous decision, but then they can take it and potentially find the compromise. Because at the end of the day, this is a recommendation report. They're going to do as they choose anyway. And I don't mean to dismiss, but that's the reality of it. So the first question is agency versus department. Do we want to just go around the room and each of us say which one we prefer? I'll be happy to start. Agency.
Are we going around?
If that's how we want to do it. I'm doing however we want to do it. Or we can just say all for agency, however.
I'm going to say agency for now.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Agency.
Yeah.
Agency.
So I am still not convinced it's a good idea, but rather than vote against it, I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Laura?
I say department.
Okay.
Did you say department?
Yeah. I still feel there's going to be politics. When it was Republican-run
just
legislator, they said that's why we were, well,
I think we have to, you know.
Did Tracy vote?
No, I was going to ask her, but I think we have to, like, not sort of
okay.
let people vote as they want, and, you know, if we want to. So, Tracy?
Yeah, I'm gonna say agency, but my saying agency is tied to giving the agency autonomy. I mean, I think if the agency doesn't have bonding autonomy, then might as well be a department.
That's my
I'm
next.
I'm gonna say agency, but I feel really strongly about the independence and autonomy.
Bonding on the list is the next vote, so.
You could start with me, then. No, I definitely think that CAP should be removed and the agency should have autonomy as it was originally designed to have.
Okay, I would agree with that. CAP removed. Why don't we just do it that way? We'll call it the CAP because I understand. But
it is a CAP.
It is a CAP. It's a maximum.
Did we resolve agency versus department?
Well, we all voted. So there were five who said agency, one who said department, and one who did not vote. Jim abstained. So 5-1-1.
Okay. All right.
So now moving on to bonding, CAP, you know, removed, or I guess the alternative would be continuing as is.
But that's with flow control still in the mix? Because my feeling is if they want bond, then you need to remove flow control.
Yeah, otherwise but we have to treat each one independently. You know, there's always twists and turns.
Okay.
So each one is its own vote.
When we get to Laura, that she just, if it's okay, if you explain that, I just want to understand your thinking.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But I'm just saying, if you know, we had all said we needed to vote to have a definite direction. So Laura, on either CAP removed or continuing as is.
If I'd like it to continue as is, if the CAP's going to be removed, we need to claw back on the flow control because we are creating the perfect monopoly otherwise, and we're also putting the county at risk for, you know, being liable for the money should something happen to the agency. So it should be one or the other, you know. And even though I've heard that we didn't provide flow control, or we did, so that they could provide their so that they could you know, formulate their budget, and I was told no, that's not why it was done. That was my understanding, is so that they would be able to guarantee the waste and would be able to better figure their budget for each upcoming year. But I think to do both, we're creating another Central Hudson, creating another large utility, and you have to use them. And then if you want to throw recycling into that as well, you know, wow, why would a hauler even be in Ulster County?
But let's wait till we get there. Mm. I mean, yeah. Your point's well taken.
Okay, so Manna, or?
I believe the bonding should stay. I think I've said this before. I would like the agency to be as autonomous as possible, but anything over $500,000, primarily because the legislature is the backup, but it's also because I think there should be an ongoing relationship, and that's a good way to ensure that the legislature and the agency are in communication.
Okay. March?
I feel the CAP should be removed. I feel that flow control should remain. I know that's not part of this vote, but.
Jim?
All right, you should remove the CAP. If you're going to ask us to do this, then we should be given the power to do it.
Remove the CAP.
Okay. So there's five of us who say remove the CAP.
Tracy voted?
She was the first.
She was the first.
Okay.
She voted first. To just sort of
remove CAP.
Add to mine, I hear the point, but I think if you're asking the agency to invest, or you're asking for significant expenditures more than just operations, now we're asking site of landfill, a bigger, better MRF. I think if you leave it in the hands of the political legislative body 100%, politics are going to enter it. And the agency board members are appointed by the legislature, and we are, I believe, we're proposing to expand that to 9 with these with executive appointments as well. So it's not going to be the same board as it used to be. So I think you need, now would we want to put a higher cap on it than the 500,000? Maybe I would be in agreement with that, not unlimited, but 500,000 doesn't go very far.
So what's the vote? Did everybody vote?
Everybody voted. The vote is 5, and 2 voted for continue as is.
And who was the other person who voted for continue?
Laura and you.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
So then the next is, well, I didn't hear that we had discussed ending current flow control. I know we discussed adding flow control on regulated recyclables throughout the county. We had discussed it. So I think does everybody feel like that's the next thing we should vote on? Okay.
I just would like to hear from Mark on that.
Sure.
Before we,
I mean, I'm happy to weigh in. I don't know whether we do it the best or not. You know, I think there's an open debate about whether single stream or dual stream is really the way to go. What I will say is that we lose money on our recycling operations, and so there's no reason for me to think that with flow control we wouldn't continue to lose money. And if we were to build a better MRF, then I think we would have to get flow control of recyclables. But I just don't know if the feedstock is there even with flow control to make that make sense. I mean, I think we can improve our operations. We can do a lot of things to have our MRF be better. And we are going to be looking at doing that. But to me, I don't think flow control recyclables is necessary. But that's my opinion, and Jim may actually feel different than with the agency a lot longer.
Well, I'm just wondering how we're going to divert if we don't have flow control. You know, we're going to be asked to divert a lot of solid waste.
Well, we're talking about regulated recyclables. So this is flow control of those things that are already diverted. Right, like regulated, there's a mandatory source separation law right now for regulated recyclables, and so they're already separate out of the stream. I mean, I think what we're being looked at to diverting is that's part of that, but
it seems like an awful lot of recyclables are being put in the garbage stream.
Mm-hmm. But that's enforcement. That's not that's not regulation.
But what?
Yeah.
So, in other words, we have the power now to stop that from happening. Is
right. That's yes. That's why I'm hiring and interviewing a recycling compliance officer to look at the mandatory source separation law and ensure compliance.
And so, what would the advantage of having flow control of regulated recyclables be? I think I understand, but I want to hear what other people think.
The advantage would be that all recyclables, regulated recyclables, would be going through the agency. So all the haulers would be required to bring them to you. You would have a much better idea of, you know, whether you were getting them all or not getting them all, or, you know, based on volume.
Let me ask you a question about that.
Okay.
Before.
Yeah.
So what if? Because I'm not sure we can handle that at this point.
Exactly.
So what I'm wondering is could we set it up so that the haulers would just have to report what they're doing.
They already do.
So we have 15% of the regulated recyclables.
But what are the haulers actually doing? Do we know how much recyclables are actually moving through
doing
the haulers?
More?
Yeah, I mean, they do about 85%. They go single stream, and they, you know, County Waste has a $30 million. What's that?
Do we have tonnages?
Oh, yeah. It's part of the report.
Yeah, that's one of the things that Angelina puts out through the
recycling. But I've heard, I'm not sure everyone believes they're accurate.
Well, that's a different question.
That's enforcement.
Yeah. Flow control.
But it's unverified. I mean, so there is no reason to believe it's accurate. You, the agency, have never verified those numbers.
Right, so that's why
you've
I'm wondering
never
if
done
had...
spot checks, you've never done anything. You just take the numbers, file them, and take them
right.
as true.
So if we regulated these this flow control for regulated recyclables, would that give us a tool to then check those numbers, or would that be redundant?
I mean, that's the concept. The concept is a closed system. That's when we, the legislature, were sold flow control of municipal solid waste. At that time, Man and Joe and I were advocating for flow control of regulated recyclables as well, because we were looking for a full system. At that time, regulated recyclables were worth a lot of money. It was before the Green right. Sword. It was before China closed its doors. Recyclables had a value that they no longer have. We're now the institution of last resort on some level, and I think we'd all be crazy to imagine there aren't incredible amounts of regulated recyclables ending up in the waste, including on the tipping floor at the agency. But the matter of fact is they no longer have the value that they did. Now, if you take at face value 85% diversion by 2050, that's going to be a massive expansion of regulated recyclables. There's no way to get to 85% without diverting more. So the question is, what's the end result? What's the end value going to be of those things? I hear Mark in terms of both the lack of value of these products and also the lack of capacity. And I would say that if we talk, or even if we suggest regulated flow control of regulated recyclables, it would have to involve a phase in to have the agency ramp up for capacity, because right now the agency can kind of exist, you know, with the same MRF that it's had forever, but that wouldn't work with flow control of regulated recyclables, and arguably you need more even currently. Like, we need a better MRF. But that needs to happen before flow control of regulated recyclables. I'm really for a full system, closed system of self-reliance. So I think there's a strong argument to be made for flow control of regulated recyclables, but it's like, what comes first? We can't do it now without the capacity at the agency to support it.
Well, to add to that, though, the recommendation, if we choose to make this recommendation, we could say flow control of regulated recyclables no later than such and such a day, and, you know, upon, you know, financing and installing a better MRF, you know.
Yes.
So part of the reason some of the haulers do have either themselves better, or the people that they're dealing with on their recyclables have better MRFs. But I agree with you, Jim. The haulers right now, they're not doing a great... I think we can agree. They're not doing a great job of making sure things are sorting. I mean, there's real-world examples of people watching it being dumped into the same hopper, and we all know that they're not...
There.
Yeah. There's no way inside the truck that separates it.
So Amanda has something to say on this.
Yeah.
That's two distinct points. So that's enforcement, and that's to the point of collection, and then there's the processing by the MRF. And it would be, I would want to see an economic analysis of whether or not the feedstock, even with flow control in Ulster County, would support a MRF of the technology that we would want, that's comparable to any of the large commercial MRFs that are being used by the private haulers, because I'm not sure where that is. And, you know, I know this goes with markets and whether or not there's a market, so I'm like, this is kind of a blunt question, but please forgive it. Are you currently recycling glass? Do you currently have a market for glass?
I mean, I'd have to double check. I think we send out glass like twice a year when we can, and it's not.
So it's just an illustrative point that without the market, even if it's a regulated recyclable, mm-hmm. and it's being properly diverted, and it's going through the MRF, if you don't have the market, it's still not being recycled, right? So there's a lot of points here, but I would want to see an economic analysis that we could build a MRF of comparable technology, you know, of sophistication to some of the other ones, and have the feedstock to kind of support it.
And
so
it would have to be a regional approach.
Yeah.
Because it's $30 million to build a county waste-style type single-stream MRF, right? And so if you're going to spend that $30 million, like, I think we make, like I said, we have about 15%. I think we make overall on all recyclables about somewhere around $750,000 a year. So,
Mark, can you say that louder? I couldn't hear you.
I think, and I got to double check my numbers. I think we take in 15% of the recyclables in Ulster County through when I looked at the last recycling report. And I think our revenue for that those recyclables is about $750,000 budgeted each year. And so, you know, I guess you times that by 8, 4, or 5 million. I mean, I guess you could get to the bond payment if it was flow control of recyclables. I also think that, you know, county waste and others that have just spent all this money because there was no flow control
mm-hmm.
on these really high technology mm-hmm. MRFs are going to sue if we've been, you know,
yeah.
institute flow They'll control
lose.
At this
point. I mean, that like, they would lose that lawsuit. There's examples of flow control of regulated recyclables. It's been upheld at the Supreme Court level. I mean, is your $750,000, is that net, or is that...
No, like I said, we'd lose money because we don't charge, you know, we don't charge for recycling.
Scale. Yeah.
Right, so it doesn't include the operations of the MRF.
That's our revenue. The operations of the MRF currently cost more than that.
Mena?
Yeah, first of all, on glass, you're not going to be able to market glass unless you sort it by color. So it's ground up and it's used as drainage material. It's not going into the landfill, but it's... and then the other thing is, I do think that the haulers should be required and are legally required to recycle. And for the ones that can do it economically and even come out ahead, and some of us have visited a facility in, I don't remember if it was Beacon, I think. Yeah.
There is one happy
thing. And it was pretty amazing how much they are able to divert. The county should be able to, and maybe when we are, then flow control of recyclables makes sense. But I think holding off on flow control of recyclables till the county can actually handle it, and then it might make sense, especially if we need the volume. But I do think that right now the issue is enforcement, that the haulers that are not, that are mixing it together need to be cited,
mm-hmm.
need to be exposed,
mm-hmm.
and but they can use the MRF. They just have to bring it in the condition, and you can collect it at curbside in, we used to collect newspaper separated from cardboard and three colors of glass and metal cans
yeah.
flattened and plastic bottles and jugs with a neck. And it worked. And it worked because there was enforcement, there was education, and so forth. I'll stop. But for now, I would vote against flow control for recyclables. I also think that we're going to ultimately need to hear from the town supervisors, because there's regulated recyclables and then there's other,
mm-hmm.
you know, metal and so forth. And compost is sort of in a gray area. We have a law, but the law doesn't require that it go to the agency.
I just wanted to ask Mark a question. So a lot of the discussion here about the flow control of regulated recyclables was about the economics. If more money was invested into enforcement, like you're talking about, you're going to hire one person. If you were able to hire a team of five people, six people, would, you know, would that help the problem? Because the only reason I think, well, not the only reason, but one of the reasons we talked about this was to stop recyclables from going into the waste stream and then getting to you guys on the tipping floor, where you get some of them, but you're not going to get every single one of them. Or, you know, that the haulers are not properly recycling them. But the haulers have the infrastructure investments, some of them do, and are making it work. And as Manna pointed out, and you know, the haulers can choose to bring their recyclables to you,
right?
Correct?
They could.
Yeah, if they wanted to.
Well, if they did dual stream.
Yeah.
They
would, I mean, they're all picking up single stream, right? So,
but if they did.
The city of Kingston brings us the recyclables, and they do curbside pickup, right? So they are doing dual stream recycling right now.
Yeah.
To your point on enforcement, and again, Amanda, just, you know, clarify. So right now on the books, there is a source separation law, right? That is what the enforcement is on. Mm-hmm. Regardless of where flow control lies, we need to be more focused on enforcement. I need to have the one person out there and understand how far we can get with that before bringing on a whole team of enforcement, right? What I would say is economically, I'm still not sure whether we get it. If you told me that tomorrow you're going to, in the next condo, or flow control of recyclables was going to pass, it was going to pass the state, and we were getting it in, I would basically, I wouldn't do upgrades to my MRF right away. I'd basically put out a bid like we do for Seneca Meadows and see which single stream recycling MRF would take it in. So we'd essentially be the one place that it goes in Ulster County, but we would go back out to a MRF elsewhere. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, the only reason I would be in favor of it is if it's going to increase recyclables and take more recyclables out of the MSW waste stream where they are. And that's the only reason. So if one isn't going to get us to the other, then the combination.
Can I ask Mark a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Mark, you just said you would do a bid. Is that because you don't have capacity right now, or because you wouldn't want to make the investment in a MRF?
I would need to do a finance, like I'm saying, if it was happening right now, right, I would do a bid for a short period of time, then, and as Amanda suggested, we would do an economic, you know, feasibility study to see whether it made sense to do the upgrades ourselves or to continue to do that, because it's hard to imagine that if we got all of the, knowing where the recycling markets are, and that there isn't like this optimism that it's going to go way up again, I don't know. I think we would continue to lose money on recycling, because I'm going to have to hire more people. Even some of these big MRFs, they still have a large human aspect of operations. So I'm hiring more people, operations costs are more, and then I'm also adding a $30 million infrastructure. So I would need a feasibility study to determine whether it makes sense to upgrade a MRF.
I think my concern about like the conversation, and I'm not saying it's not realistic, but how does that intersect with 85% by 2050? Like if there's a side conversation saying recycling isn't really, there's no market, which makes it waste, then how does that work? Like, how do we have a shared fantasy of 85 by 50?
So I think this is the piece that goes into our legislative column, right? Because the example that comes to my mind, which I don't know if we've talked about already in our meetings, is that in the state of California, there's a requirement for post-consumer plastic, recycled post-consumer plastic content in garbage bags. And that one piece of legislation has driven a domestic plastic recycling market. one piece of legislation. Like, so if we're going to have viable markets domestically and not ship things overseas, you know, they have to, and share this fantasy with the state about our diversion rates, looking into the future, there has to be, like, very tactical legislation like that
right.
that are really going to create the markets for it. Otherwise, it is delusion.
Can I tell you, Amanda, that there is a facility in New Jersey that's doing that, that Manna and I went, I don't remember, Flora, you were there, but that's doing that film recycling. It's a very specific thin plastic film recycling, has to be clean. Much of it's coming pre-consumer from clothes, things like all the things that you don't see in plastic that come to market in plastic. And when we spoke with that gentleman, I mean, I actually have on my desk at home a vase full of the pellets. When we spoke with that gentleman, he talked about that California legislation and said that it would be life-altering for him, and that it would, if that legislation passed in New York, there would be 15 of those facilities popping up overnight just on the garbage bag legislation. Because he'd have, like, there'd be, you know, exponential market need. So, yeah, but I do think we need to address, I think that this section of recommendation, which sounds like we're probably not going to recommend flow control of regulated recyclables, I think our recommendation needs to be nuanced and talk about enforcement first. I do think we need to have a conversation about improving the MRF, because again, it's fairly antiquated. But then how this intersects with legislation, with markets, with creating markets, and with the idea of, you write a whole report whose headline is 85 by 50, and yet piles of glass are sitting, you know, with nowhere to go, which effectively makes them waste.
Mr. Chairman, if
yep.
I may.
Yep.
One thing I think we need to keep in mind is that things are going to change, and climate change is now a climate crisis. We're not dealing with it. Material is going to become increasingly valuable. So although perhaps now is not the time to have regulated recyclables, metal, glass, wood, I mean, a whole raft of things, and there may be post-consumer plastic that we can use. So this material that we are now saying is worthless, in 5 years, in 10 years, in 20 years, it's going to be invaluable. And I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think so. I don't see any sign that things are turning around. I see signs that things are getting worse. So it doesn't necessarily have to impact this vote, but somehow in the report we have to point out that these materials are going to be valuable. You know, we take them all for granted now. We take our whole line of, you know, products coming down the line all the time as if it's just going to continue, as if it's guaranteed, and it's not. So we're going to have a future where we're going to need this stuff. So in the flow control part of this, there at least has to be some mention of that maybe nuanced, maybe down the road, in 5 years and 10 years, when we have a MRF at some point. But I don't want this report to reject the idea of flow control of regulated recyclables, because we have to have the flexibility to grab that stuff.
Okay, let me get March.
I agree wholeheartedly. I think that we need to be open to the future of flow control for regulated recyclables, and we should say that very explicitly. Like, we are not recommending it at this time, but as markets progress and as just-in-time delivery fails, we need to consider this. I need to leave, so I wanted to mention that. I have about 5 more minutes, and then I really have
okay.
to go.
Okay.
And I'm okay with you guys voting on this without me at the table, and I feel
yeah,
like I've you've covered the things that I care most about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It
well,
sounds like there's
so
consensus on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, if you can, I apologize, if you can make it short, we'll recognize
yeah.
you, because I just want to...
The reason why I'm here is the statement for which you just made around markets for materials in the future. So I sort of represent, I run a circularity-focused business, and right now there's mobilization happening for reuse in multiple forms, the Reeves Innovation Center is a project that I'm definitely interested in, and there is consensus happening within the Reeves community, within NYSAR3, of trying to create systems of material reuse within New York State. So this is something that's forthcoming, and something that I think definitely should be considered within this strategy. So that's all.
Please come to our meeting on Monday. We'll be discussing the RIC.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
So, just in interest of time, since March has to leave, so what I'm hearing is the vote would be basically either yes or no, but I think we can say a no for right now, mm-hmm. to be revisited as over time.
The lady on the screen there has her hand up.
Yeah, I just go ahead, Tracy. I just want to, because March has to leave, I want to actually finish these votes, so.
Yeah, we can move through the votes. I just want to say that my vote concurs with March's. Like, I think that this isn't like a we are against flow control of regulated recyclables. I want our recommendation, if we concur, to be nuanced to say that all of the things we've sort of circled around in this, that we remain open, if not even supportive of the idea, that just we're not at the place in this moment, and the first step toward that is enforcement, and the second is the kind of analysis that Amanda talked about. But in terms of, actually being able to deliver on what's being requested from the CLCPA and this latest report, I mean, the U.S. is the highest consumer waste per capita, and we're expected to increase by 20% by 2050. So it's like we've got to actually do and address this. So I just want to make sure that we don't just say that no, we're against it. I think we need to actually speak to the complicated nature of this and the importance in terms of a circular economy, but also self-reliance.
So
do the board already?
We haven't. I'm trying to push through, but
we already did.
Well, we did the discussion, and we seem to have agreement, but we haven't actually voted. Yeah.
But because March has to leave, let's actually vote on this right now. So the answer is basically there's three options, essentially. Yes, we do it right now. No, we don't do it at all. Or we don't do it right now, but we're supportive of the idea in future. That's my vote, is the no for now, but supportive in the future.
I like that.
I agree with that. Yes.
Everybody, Amanda, do you agree with that? Okay, so that's a unanimous. We are not now, and I have all the reasons that you mentioned, Tracy, that I will include in our sort of benchmarks.
Please include my reasons.
Enforcement first. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the board?
Let me just get this jotted down here. So the next would be the makeup of the board. I just want to, the first was that it would be 9 members, the recommendation, 5 appointed by the legislature, 3 by the county executive, 1 from the supervisor association.
Clarifying question?
Yes.
Would that be done according to the schedule that was put out the last time I read your...
With the changes that we made at the last meeting.
Okay, I'm not aware of those changes.
Okay, so the changes we made were... one is that we pretty much were in agreement that it's never going to happen on January 1, so we're going to move it to April 1st. So the terms would be extended and would be from April 1st till March 31st. And that's because of changeover of legislators.
That's fine.
I'm a minority no on that.
Okay.
Part of
okay.
it.
Okay. Let me just finish explaining, and then we'll go to the vote. I apologize. I thought
we
I
talked
had
about
my notes here.
Whether or not the term how many could be an elected official.
Yeah.
And how many could be employees of elected officials.
So what we agreed on is from the legislature, there could be 2 elected officials or employees of the county, but not both. 2 total of those 5 can be either an elected official or an employee of the county.
Okay.
Of the 3 from the executive, 1 could be an elected official or an appointee of the county. Obviously, the supervisor with 1, it can be an elected official or it's not an elected official. But
and I think we also said that if there was a host community,
yes,
it would be
and that
from
yeah.
The host
so,
great.
Of the five appointees from the legislature, one of the appointees must reside in the community where a UCRA facility is, which right now would either be Ulster or New Paltz, but in future with other facility potential could be other places. We talked about a 3-year term for those seats, and I mapped out a chart basically.
Right, and that's
of
so
that.
Is that chart still in effect?
That
yes.
chart is
okay,
still
good.
In effect.
I have no objections
yep.
to any of this.
And then the other part we talked about was confirmation that only the legislature obviously would confirm their own members within the body, but that the executive and the supervisor association would not require legislative confirmation, that they would be appointments onto the board with no confirmation.
I might have to be a minority no
okay.
on that, but let's leave it as
okay.
as it is.
And we did talk about tenure, in that I think we left it at no more than three full cycles, and then you had to be off the board for a minimum of one full cycle before reappointment. So essentially you could be appointed for three-year terms, and then you would have to come off, but then you could go back on again after. It's just to...
I can't imagine anyone who would
well,
want
it's,
to.
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's to stop... It's
right, no,
to
I understand.
Keep
I
fresh
understand.
Ideas.
I understand.
So can we vote on the proposal taking aside the points that Manna expressed
yep.
a different viewpoint on?
Well,
which were two items.
Yeah, or we could just all vote on the whole proposal and just note that. Is anybody opposed?
Tracy has a question.
Okay, Tracy, yes.
Two quick things. One, we may want to include in the proposal that the legislature should still endeavor to, not the legislature, the appointment should still endeavor to represent geographic diversity.
Okay.
I feel like. And again, we don't have to be too prescriptive with it, but I think we should just still suggest. And then the one thing I want to raise, it's not going to be a deal breaker for me.
Can I ask one point? Would that be just the legislature or the executive's appointments as well?
No, I would just say that the appointments should endeavor
to. In general. Okay. Thank you.
In general.
Yep.
And then on that note, again, and I just want to raise, again, not a deal breaker, but the idea that the legislature has to appoint the at least one representative from the host community, if there is a host community. I guess that could be handled by the geographic diversity, because what if the exec wants to appoint someone from the host community? Like, I'm just raising the issue of the legislature being the one that has to appoint it versus one member having to be the appointment, because you could have the legislature now having to appoint and the supervisors association appointing the supervisor from that community,
yep.
as the legislature also have to appoint.
I'm okay with that at all times one of the total of the nine members must be from the host community.
Part, we could say at least one.
Sure.
This is why we should just be recommending increasing
more
the size.
More than one to
leave it at that.
Well, but I think,
no,
we,
I think
need
we
need
to
get
to
into some
out.
Of the details.
Yeah.
And I think especially the timeline that I saw that phases it in was, you know, reassuring to me as a board member. Because
we
if we jump right to nine.
Can we start here next time? Because we've made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
I think we can vote
well,
on
let's
it.
Let's just vote on this right now. So other than the 2 points that Manna...
Which were legislative confirmation
which
were
legislative
and the
4-1
start date.
Mm-hmm. Right. Is everybody in agreement with the remainder as described?
No.
Okay.
You what do, what don't
to be
you
non-political,
like?
Political, but you have three appointments by the executive's office.
Yeah.
There's your department right there.
What do you mean?
But we say only one person can be. An employee
or
an elected official. Mm. So they can't appoint three departments.
I mean, I love the idea of increasing the size. I just...
Yeah.
Laura, if I may,
yeah.
Part of the reason I support having political people involved is because it's easy to throw rocks from outside, and we've had a lot of rocks being thrown
mm-hmm.
at us. So if political people are involved, then it brings it in-house. Then it's, you know, it's just not as easy to throw rocks when you have skin in the game.
How about so, two from the executive and one from the comptroller?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's what Laura's getting at.
Oh, okay.
Why would the comptroller, no disrespect, but why would the comptroller have an appointment? Like, that doesn't even make sense to me.
I'm not fighting for that, but thank you. I prefer, honestly, like, in my mind, the Supervisors Association than having two appointments, if that's the concern. I do have to go, and I hate to rush this conversation. Can we vote on the expansion of the board size and the makeup of the appointments, and then talk more about whether we want to limit those appointments in some way, or whether we want
to... Okay. So, is everybody in favor with the 9 appointments?
Yes.
Okay, so that's unanimous. And then, so the...
And, Mr. Chairman, again, just please, in the recommendations, that the timeline that you laid out be the implementation schedule.
Yes, with that.
The 3-year terms, and there was no...
And the way they rolled in.
Yes. Yes. And there was no debate amongst the committee about that. Right. So, and then, so the recommendation to, let's take the recommendation to change it to April 1st instead of January 1st. Now, we know MANA has expressed a no on that. Is anybody else opposed to that? Okay. So that would be a 6-1 with MANA. The 9 board members is unanimous. What were the other issues? The makeup of the appointments? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the appointed
MANA's
board.
Other issue was legislative approval, not having legislative approval of executive.
Okay.
Confirmation.
Yeah, so let's take that next, the confirmation. We know MANA would like the legislature to approve all or confirm all. Let me use the correct language. Is anybody else opposed to as proposed?
I don't quite understand it, since it's an outside board and not a board that's reporting to the legislature or the exec. That's why I don't understand the why would you have that check on it? If the intent here, as I've understood it, is that, to use your term, skin in the game from the executive, that, you know, UCRA becomes everybody's kind of responsibility, right?
Well, in the interest, since March has to leave for time, it's just, is there anyone else who feels that the legislature should confirm? I mean, otherwise...
Can I just weigh in also just really quickly? So... I have come around to feeling the legislature should not confirm, and also as the one person who serves as chair of the legislature with all 3 of our county executives, I can tell you that all 3 of our county executives had issue with not having appointments and not having say, and since this legislation was written when there was no executive, I do think it'll be pretty profound having an executive have direct appointments and having those appointments really facilitate, I mean the term skin in the game, but really facilitate bringing the executive to the table in a way that has not been, we haven't been able to achieve, even though the executive has had to deal with all of the issues related to the agency since there's been an executive. Again, all 3 executives had serious concerns and problems with it.
And with it only being one county employee or elected official, you know, it could open it up to, it could be a member from the Environmental Management the EMC, the County Planning Board. I'm thinking of other volunteer boards that already exist where maybe a member of that could,
or it could be somebody from their campaign.
Or it could be just, yeah. Well, it could be. But it's still a 9-person board with an executive director. So
I think this is, from sitting on the RRA board, I think this is about the best. The committee has done a good job here. This is really something that I think we can work with. Especially the implementation and the way you brought in a whole variety of people. It's.
Can I ask something about the implementation? Because, Jim, you said we're not going to jump to a 9-member board. That's not the way
we
see this.
No, it is going to jump to a 9-member board, Jim, but it's that the existing 5-member board would continue, And as those people's term comes up, the legislature could reappoint them, or they could appoint somebody else.
So we're going to have the 5-member board, and then...
Once the state approves change in legislation, we would add new board members, but their terms would be staggered, and they would... Most of the new appointments would have shortened terms to be able to fit them in, slot them in.
Right. So the first copy of the thing that he, yeah, I read it. I don't have a copy of it. So the first year, Jim, the executive would name three people. One would be a 1-year term, one would be a 2-year term, one would be a 3-year term. That's so it would be a rolling.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
Okay.
Duh. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I just realized that's why you shouldn't do things late at night. Okay. I was like, wait a minute. That's not right.
And
I had one suggestion, and that is on that chart, the legislature acts and then the executive acts, and it's two and two, and it could be the legislature and the executive act, and then. Again, the legislature and executive act.
The executive really is going to, they're going to fill three appointments when the board jumps, but one will have a 1-year term, one will have a 2-year term.
I'm looking here. There's two here and two there.
And these terms are, they're existing. This is the existing.
So the existing 5 members at the.
Are here. These are their actual terms.
This would be implemented when at the end of a current term. Now, if we extend it till April, one of the first recommendations would be that the current board, their terms of office that end 12/31 would be extended to 3/31, just so it gets into that cycle. Then, when the two current ones that are on it, that their term would have ended, they come off, but the legislature can reappoint them if they choose to, or they can appoint somebody else. So the first year, the legislature is only appointing 2 people.
I did it wrong, but thank you.
There are 3 continuing, and the executive is appointing 3, and the supervisor appointing 1. And then, so the X is where the term ends, and it's just to make it fair, so it's rolling, so the exec is, so every year, one executive appointment is coming up every year, either 2 or
right,
1.
No, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it now. And so there's a chance that I won't be reappointed. My wife will be delighted to hear this.
There's a chance. Quite frankly, Jim, they'd be crazy not to. But
there is no more chance of that than there is of siting a landfill in Plattekill.
But Jim,
and I know people think I'm
put it this way: if the legislature doesn't appoint you, you could lobby the executive to appoint you. So,
I'm not sure I would do that. But who knows?
Anyway,
I'm joking.
Okay, so the confirmation, the question, Manna would like the legislature to confirm all. Tracy, you were the other one that was, I don't know if I understood your answer.
I'm okay with the legislature not. I have come around, and I'm okay with each authority appointing their own.
Not confirmation.
Yeah. And were there any others that we needed to vote on?
The only thing we might want to do is set a July meeting.
Yes, before you leave. The week of the 9th.
I'm gone the 8th and 9th.
I already talked to Michael. You only come next year, but I'm not going to be here for that meeting. There's a budget meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning. So that Thursday or Friday, that week? Or 9, right? Yep, I think so.
Listen, I'm just going to tell you that. Are you guys talking Wednesday, Thursday, Friday? Right now?
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. I'm available in the morning.
Okay.
Any of those days.
Okay.
Let me tell you what's available.
And you're setting no meeting week of the July 4th.
I think it's too silly. We don't want to meet on the 3rd, 4th, or 5th, really. So.
Fine.
I unfortunately, the Thursday, the 11th, I'm not available in the morning. And Liz is telling us that we have to...
The only thing available is July 8th and 9th.
Between 9:30 and 11:30.
What do you mean the only thing? Like there's no other room we can meet in? Also said we could meet in her room.
Could we meet in chambers?
I have to check if it's available.
Can I call you back?
Let me... Oh.
Yeah.
Or do we also ask the chair?
It looks like we're looking at July 12th because...
Yeah, I the morning of the 11th, unfortunately, I have a dentist appointment, so I can't make that unless I change it, which I could do. The 12th would be... The 10th or the 12th would be best for
me. The 10th is
have
not good for Mark.
Have you tried to change a dentist appointment lately?
I actually did.
No, I know.
I'm booked out to June 2025 for a cleaning.
Well, that's what I'm getting, and I actually moved it once already, which is why I'm reluctant to move it again.
Yeah.
It's like, don't cancel the appointment. I'm sorry. It's a hard no. Yeah.
They canceled my wife's appointment, and it was pushed a year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
The dentist office of the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
So the 12th is the best date right now.
The 12th works for me at 9 o'clock because we have to be done, Liz said, by 11:30. Okay. So
that's great.
12th at 9?
Yeah.
Okay. And plan that day for at least probably a two-hour meeting because we're going to be really digging into the report.
Can I just make a quick announcement before you close?
Yep. I did have a couple other. Do you want to continue talking about votes on things or wait till March is here? Because Jim's not going to be at the next meeting.
I thought we did all the votes.
I think we had, unless you had more votes.
The only thing, well, there were a couple other things that I had mentally on the list. We talked about the reuse center. I think we're all in favor of the reuse center. The question is, does the county take control of the reuse center, or does the agency take control of the reuse center?
Or a nonprofit.
That was one. Let's table that till the next.
Do you have a hard one.
Unless you have a strong opinion one way or the other, Jim, and you can always email it if you prefer.
I think it should be a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's too soon to answer that question, honestly.
Yeah. And maybe we don't address it. Maybe we just say the reuse center should be implemented and sort of let the legislature solve the logistics of it.
Let's have another discussion about that.
That was one that I think...
You're going to be here next Wednesday?
I think the general consensus of all of us was that the reuse center needs to happen.
We should have one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
how it happens is the question. Yeah.
You know, I would say it should be an agency project with support
Friday
from
the
legislature.
Here?
Yeah.
That they're all, it's all tight. And in the chambers, there's intern. I thought the 8th and 9th.
No, but I thought you said from 11:30 on it was booked. 9 a.m. we're talking about it. Here.
But he says July 8th and 9th, not the rest of the week because it's
taken. Oh, that's not what you said.
It's taken.
What's happening on the 11th?
They have interns in chambers.
Well, we're going to have to find...
I
don't know.
Let's check with Marge. She said we could use an office on her floor. We could also ask the chair of the legislature if we could use his office.
Yeah.
There's the other conference room.
Or can we use
the
executive's conference
little,
room, too? I mean, we can...
There's
a lectern.
So
yeah.
What are we
saying? We're trying to find where we're going to meet, but we're still going to do July 12th at 9 a.m.
For a short on time.
Okay, and I always have an 11 o'clock call. I have to...
Okay. Well...
Are we voting on a landfill?
A landfill? No, it doesn't say... Doesn't sound like we're voting on a landfill.
Well, I had that on my list too, but I
felt like that's a big one.
Yeah, no, it is a big one, and there were other things, and that's why my original plan was to just make the list today, and vote on Wednesday, but then Jim wasn't going to be here, so.
Well, you know what?
I will bring more of a list next meeting to finish.
Can I add one thing potentially to the list?
Yes, please.
Something that I think is worthy of discussion, and that's. Whether or not we regulate C&D, because that was a big one in zero waste.
That was another one in my.
What was it?
Regulate
C&D,
which we were going to discuss ROC meeting on Monday.
Yeah,
I think it's a big one.
I mean, there's no way to get to 85 without it.
Mm-hmm. So there's no way to get to 100 without it.
I can ask, if anybody comes up with other ideas of items that, you know, you have a brainstorm over the weekend of that we should vote on, please email them. You can copy Liz, but please email them, and we'll go from there.
Mr. Chairman, can I put in my vote yes on landfill and yes on regulating C&D, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Can I make an announcement?
Really? Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so I am presenting your email. I'm presenting the Cornerstone Report to the board this Thursday, so the report is final, And there will be a presentation on recommendations to move forward with site development. Well, the board will discuss how to move forward, but
feasibility, engineering feasibility.
Yeah, so there was an engineering feasibility study for a landfill, but there we will be moving forward with these more feasibility studies for
like a conceptual site.
So if people are interested.
Thursday, what can you circulate it to us?
After Thursday.
Yeah, I can circulate it to you after Thursday.
When are you presenting?
Thursday.
At the
6 p.m. at the
8th.
Thursday. And you have your zero waste meeting that day too. Is it
at
5?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Mark, are you here for the next meeting?
Yes.
That's good. Okay, so that's great.
Yes.
Okay, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, and motion and a second. You can pick which one. Whatever. They both made them.
And we all agreed.
Thank you, everybody.
You all.
So, yeah, we'll find a place to meet.
Can you tell me? Oh, wait, he says that the 12th at 9 here is fine.
Okay. So the 12th at 9 here is okay.
Great.
Yeah.
I misunderstood. Well, I thought you said after 11:30, so I figured 9.
Thank you, too.
No, but that was only for the July 8th and 9th.
Okay. I misunderstood what you were saying.
Where's Mana? I don't want Mana to go. Can you send me a list of what you guys were talking about that they want you guys want me to add to the
Yes. I don't know why my email from here in this building will not send. When I'm home, it kept getting kicked back to me saying cannot be sent. Mm-hmm. And I was responding to the same email list where you sent out the agenda.
I know, but I
so everybody's email's got to be accurate. But my computer wouldn't. So anyway, I'll email it to you when I get home.